Good to see you this morning. I'm going to be pretty brief and to the point today, so you need to really run with me as we talk about the church in Philadelphia. Then next week, it's Laodicea, and the seven churches are done, and we leap into the seven seals. Those are powerful. Those are powerful. But today, ready. Let's do a prayer. Father God, thank you so much that we can be here, and we're conscious that many of our members are out right now doing the work of Jesus, touching and healing and blessing and fellowshipping and encouraging those who may not know you. So may your spirit rest upon them right now, as well as with us. And then upon our friends who are viewing us from this place and that place, may your spirit now touch them. In Christ's name, amen. I had to come today all dressed up fancy because after the service, I'm going to another church where I'll be blessing my grandnephew. Yeah, the child of my niece would be my grandnephew. She's flown in from California, having a baby blessing, so had to get kind of all spruced up for that event. The letters to the seven churches are written by a Savior who knows us. In Ephesus, lost our first love. In Smyrna, because of that, the church had to experience trial and tribulation. The Lord tried to draw his church back. But as a result of the trial and tribulation, then the church went into Pergamos. Compromise. Couldn't handle what the Lord was dishing out. And folk began to compromise. Historically, during that time, we found out the church got away from many of the teachings of the apostles. And wound up in Thyatira, apostasy, all kinds of stuff, Joel, going on in the church. Even the key teachings of the Sabbath and the state of the dead were lost during the time of Thyatira. The Lord then used the Reformation, Elder Pierman, to bring the church back. But we found out last week that in Sardis, they came back, but they didn't do what? Anybody remember? They didn't go all the way. Remember that? They stopped. They came back. They got away from the Thyatira spirit. They got away from rank apostasy. But they didn't come all the way back. And the reason they didn't sets us up for Philadelphia. Those of you who are students of history know that the Reformation, the church in Rome fought back. With the Counter-Reformation. Ever heard the phrase Counter-Reformation? Yeah. You studied ancient history or European history, you've heard about the Counter-Reformation. And here's what the Roman church did. Listen to me carefully. See, during the Reformation, many different Protestant churches came up. And they were protesting the excesses of the church in Rome, the indulgences, the worship of images. Literally selling salvation. And the protest was needed, the protest was strong, and at first, the protest was effective. Luther came up, Zwingli came up, Wycliffe came up, on and on we could name these great characters of the Reformation. And they began to attack these excesses, and at first they were very successful. Listen to me, very successful. The problem was, each one of these different leaders formed his own church. So we had the Lutherans over here, Roger Williams with the Baptists over here, the Wesley Brothers with the Methodists over here, on and on we went, until finally you had hundreds of different Protestant churches. In fact, in the United States of America today, there are 571 different Protestant churches. Now, if you have a spiritual mind, you can see the danger in that, can't you? Because what you have now, in many cases, in the Protestant church, is mass biblical and spiritual confusion. And everybody says, I'm right. Are you with me? Well, during the Reformation period, the church in Rome began to take advantage of the divisions between the Protestants and presented themselves as the Catholic Church, the universal church. We're one. And some of you who are keeping up with current events know that one of the great moves now the Church of Rome is to call all of the Protestants back. Anybody heard about that? Oh yes, all kinds of private meetings are taking place to bring the church back together and make them one. And it sounds so sweet. It sounds so good. Everybody together. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, believers and non-believers, unity that's not in Christ and His Word is not unity, but compromise and apostasy. When you get to Philadelphia, and I set you up for this in the other sermon. When you get to Philadelphia, 1833 to 1844, God now is beginning to get impatient. What did I say? Impatient. See, one of the things you don't want to forget, we've been here a long time. It's been over 2,000 years since Christ was crucified. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus wants to bring His church home. Come on, y'all. Can't somebody say amen? He wants to get you out of this mess we're in. And even though we have sometimes some good days of beautiful Sabbath, folk are out doing God's work, the fact is, folk, living on planet Earth is crazy. Unpredictable. And Jesus wants to get us home. Let me use some texts that are not in my sermon notes. I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart today because I'm not going to talk long. Go to Luke 21. Luke 21. Let me show you something. And so Jesus did not want His church to be caught off guard. And so He tells us in Luke 21, 25, look. And there shall be signs in what? Come on now. In the moon and in the... Yeah. Now, He's setting them up for the second coming. See, the title of my sermon, Brother Williams, is Ready. Ready. And so, Antoinette, as he's on earth, he's saying, look, before I come, now remember the Philadelphia period is 1833, 1844. He says, before I come, there are going to be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so the Lord began, even before the Philadelphia period, to begin to awaken the church. In 1755, there was the great Lisbon earthquake. He said there would be earthquakes. So if you keep on reading, men's hearts feeding them for fear, verse 26, and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming. Lisbon earthquake in 1755. The dark day, ever heard of that? The dark day, May 19, 1780. Now, this is before 1833, Pastor Daniels, but he's getting their attention. Things are happening now in the heavens, and then, bam, bam. In 1833, the largest meteoric shower ever recorded on planet Earth, the stars fell. Did we just read that in the Bible? Signs and what? Sun, moon, and where? Stars. And of course, in 1780, that dark day, the next night, the moon came up looking the color of blood. These things are recorded in the encyclopedias. What I'm saying to you, you're sitting here in 2016, and I'm saying to you, over 200 years ago, the Lord started announcing, trying to stay calm about this thing. The Lord started announcing, I'm on my way. Philadelphia is the period where God is saying, you better get ready. I'm tired of dealing with this church. They keep going further and further away from me. They're half-baked. They're not all they should be. Time for grace is becoming short. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. This is Adventist preaching, y'all. And so Philadelphia, the Lord now begins to up the ante. He wants the church to know it's time for you to be ready. And even before the falling of the stars, you had people like Manuel de Lacunza, a Catholic man, begin to preach the second coming of Jesus in 1731. Edward Irving, a Protestant preacher, started preaching the second coming of Christ back in the 1700s. Joseph Wolff, a Jewish Christian, started preaching the second coming of Christ back in 1795. And Louis Guassin, a French evangelical, started preaching the second coming of Christ in 1790. All these folk came along about the same time, preaching the second coming of Jesus. And then came the sign in the sun, came the sign in the moon, came the sign in the stars. Is anybody listening to me today? You folks watching online need to understand that ever since the people listening to me were born, ever since the oldest person in this church right now was born, you have been living in the time of the end. Boy, y'all calm. Time of the end. Everybody sitting here has been living in a time when Jesus could come any day. Aren't you excited about it? Don't you want to see the clouds roll back? Come on, somebody. Don't you want to see the mountains skip out of their places? Don't you want to see the oceans boil? And no, you don't have to worry because safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. Calling and election is sure. I know the signs, but I ain't worried about the signs. I know the plagues are coming, but I'm not worried about the plagues coming. I know there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. I'm not worried about it because I have made my covenant with Jesus Christ. And so Philadelphia, shortest of all the periods, 1833 to 1844. Now, that's interesting. 1833, 1844. One of the things that's said to Philadelphia, I'm the one who opens doors. Remember that when she read it? Oh, I like the way she read that passage. Yeah, beautiful. Said, I'm going to open doors, I'm going to close doors. Let me talk to you a few minutes about that. Have you ever studied the Jewish sanctuary service? Yeah, well, let me help you with it. The Jews worshiped in an old tent tabernacle. It had three sections. First, the courtyard. There was a door to that. Remember that? It's all in the Bible. Don't have time to read all these texts for you today. Go to Hebrews 9. We'll give it all to you. Hebrews 9, give it all to you. Those watching online, Hebrews 9. Give it all to you. As you got through that first door into the courtyard, there was a second door. It was the door into the first compartment of the tent. That led you into the holy place. Ever heard of the holy place? Yeah, there was the candlesticks there and the table of showbread there and the little altar of incense that was in front of the third door. The third door, read Hebrews 9, the third door lets you into the most holy. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? Most holy. And only one person could go in there. The high priest. He represented Jesus. And he only went how many times? Listen to all these Bible scholars. I tell you, I ain't teaching them nothing today. They got that stuff down pat, sis. I just close my Bible and let you get up here and talk about it. But I'm not going to do that. So we have how many doors? Three doors. Well, to Philadelphia said, I'm going to open the door. Now, in the old days, if you were a woman, you couldn't even go in the first door. Only men could go into the courtyard. You had to be, at least be a priest or a Levite to go through the second door. But you had to be the high priest to go through the last door. Oh, Lord Jesus. But the text said, I'm going to open up the door. I'm going to open up the doors. There's not going to be any special access. Are you listening to me? Now, during the time of Thyatira, you got to stay with me now because Pastor's talking a lot of history. Time of Thyatira, the Christian church also started closing doors. And so in the Roman church, if you wanted to get to God, you had to go through a priest sitting in a booth called the confessional. And the priest took your prayer on in through the door. But I haven't read my Bible. My Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Hey, come on, somebody. Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, I don't have to go through any door. Come on, somebody. Just talk to Jesus and he knocks open the door. Huh? He said to Philadelphia, I've reached the point now, I don't want Henry Wright to have to go through anybody. I'm opening up all the doors. He can go all the way into the most holy place through me. He can stand before the throne of God through his Savior, Jesus Christ. No more closed doors. This is Adventist preaching, yes. No more closed doors. It's all open, Philadelphia, because in these days and times when life is stressed and pressed, you don't need to have to try to call Henry Wright your pastor. You need to be able to fall down on your knees in your kitchen, in your car, on your job. You may not be able to find me, but you can find Jesus. The doors are open. Doors are open. I'm driving through Tifton, Georgia, riding on a Greyhound bus. I just finished working in a tent crusade all summer in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's 1962. The bus ride was 30-some hours from St. Petersburg back to Dayton, Ohio, where I lived. So we came up to this little old wayside place, the Greyhound bus stop. Driver said, everybody out. But we're in Tifton, Georgia. It's 1962, not 92. Is anybody listening to me? It's 62. And so little old naive northern me, everybody's getting off the bus, going to get a little hamburger, maybe a whatever the case may be, O'Neill, and I get off my little old, bright self. As I got to the door, this big old arm with all this red hair on it, locked down in front of me. Where you going, boy? I was jarred into reality. Can't come in here. Go around the back, get your food. I am not necessarily a person who's possessed at all times by the Lord. Can I confess? Now, don't you sit there pious because you ain't always possessed by him either. And though, even though in my young years I was always very skinny, I was very strong, I was very quick. And I was getting ready to go into action. And this hand came down on my shoulder. There's an old black brother behind me. He said, "Son, this ain't the time." Now, he probably saved my life. I wouldn't be standing here preaching. I'd still be, my remains would be in Tifton, Georgia. Huh? This ain't the time. He said, "Come on with me." And he led me around to a door, right on into the kitchen. Got my sandwich and stuff, gave it to me. I said, "Well, thank you, sir. Who are you?" He said, I'm the head cook here. I saw y'all getting off the bus. I'm the one that takes care of everything." He said, ain't no doors I can't go in." No doors I can go in. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is what Philadelphia is all about. Are you listening to me? Oh, I know you want me to read a lot of text today and go through a lot of history and so forth and so on. Today's a short sermon. Philadelphia is an announcement to the church that we have an advocate with the Father who's opened all the doors. Come on, somebody. Philadelphia says to the church, "Nothing between my soul and my Savior." Since 1844, according to Daniel 7, Jesus now has moved from the holy to the most holy place. The last door is open. Hebrews says he has gone through the veil, my brother. Hebrews makes it clear that through Jesus Christ, I have access to God anytime I want. Philadelphia is an announcement that all I need to do is be ready. Did you hear me? Ready. Because according to Daniel 7 and Daniel 9 in 1844, the last time prophecy came to an end, the 2300-day prophecy. And since then, judgment has been taking place. Are you listening to me? Are you taking advantage of the open door? Well, Pastor, I wanted to hear about some history. I wanted to hear some facts and some dates. Well, you can read that for yourself. Only thing I have to say to you this morning is, we, because of the period called Philadelphia, now have open access to God that we might be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. What happens when people are really ready? Final part of my sermon. There was a man named William Miller that came along preaching in 1843. And Anwar, in studying the Bible with diligence, studied the 2300-day prophecy. Listen to me, I'm almost done. Listen, he studied the 2300-day prophecy, and he decided that Jesus was coming in October of 1844. He skipped over that text that says, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour." But he meant well, that's why he meant well. So what I want to talk about is not his mistake. I want to talk about the effect of his faith. Because of him, people actually believed, Philip, that this Jesus we're now looking for was going to come in 1844. And here's what people did. See, when you really believe that Jesus is coming, you get ready. They went to their neighbors and confessed their sins against their neighbors. They went to their spouses and apologized for mean words, Joel, to their spouses. They went to the places that where they had business and sold their property, gave their money to the cause of God. They went about doing what we're doing today, knocking on doors, spreading the word. Why? They confessed their sins. When you believe he's coming, you get ready. You get ready. You notice the Bible says, talking about them, The Lord said, I'll see you through the time of trial. The Lord didn't come. There was great disappointment. And out of that disappointment came the Seventh-day Adventist Church, whose assignment was to let people know two things. One, you better get ready. And two, the door's open. Come on, somebody. That's us. That's us. Our job is to say to people, there's nothing now to block you from God, and you better get ready because he's on his way. So the song is clear. The song is plain. We all know it. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Is that all right? No. Are you ready? Are you ready? Young man, you ready? I want to see him. Oh, hush your fuss. I want to see him. No, I want to see the face of Jesus. I got a picture of him in my mind. I think I've met him at least three times in disguise or my guardian angel. But I want to see him. I want to walk up to him and I want to hear him, Linda, call my name. I want to hear my name on the lips of Jesus. Henry, welcome. I ain't gonna be able to stand it, y'all. You better get back when he says that. I'm gonna shout for at least 100 years. Come on. I got 50 million, no need to rush. I'm just gonna shout. Why? I heard Jesus call my name. I want him to take me to the mansion. I got a mansion. Come on, y'all. I believe it's located on Hallelujah Street. I believe with all my heart. And the thing about it is, I ain't gonna be worried about your mansion. Because I got my mansion. You go to your mansion, I'll go to my mansion. Somebody say amen. Have that road clear and white. Won't be any dry cleaning bills now. Come on, y'all. And there won't be any jealousy. Because all the robes are the same style. And the same color. Come on, y'all. Now, ladies, that's going to be rough on you, but that's where it's going to be. Ain't gonna be no pink robes, blue robes, white robe, one style, one color. Let the church say amen. The thing is, are you ready? Those people proved back there that being ready changes your life. And even though we're still waiting because he's not yet fulfilled all the signs, we know that Jesus keeps his word. Philadelphia is hope for the church. And the song says, are you ready? Go ahead, sis.
Are you ready to stand in your place. Are you ready to look on his face? Can you look up and say, oh, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come?
Our Father, you've gotten the church now to Philadelphia. Philadelphia says we're getting close. Philadelphia says Jesus has never changed his mind. He's always wanted us to have open access to his Father through him. But Philadelphia also says that the signs in the heavens indicate to the church that Jesus is readying himself to come. Well, if he's ready, we need to be ready. Simple sermon today, Lord, just short and to the point, just hitting it. Many of us sitting here today have grown up looking for the second coming of Jesus. It would be terrible to miss it. It would be terrible not to be ready. Some of you listening to me right now online, it's been a hope in your heart for years. Some of you may be people of years. Hold on. Philadelphia was told to hold on, hold fast, cling to, don't give up. So with heads bowed, Lord, and hearts raised toward you, we want to be able to answer that question that the songstress has raised. Are we ready? Stand in our place, look in your face, are we ready? If there's somebody listening online who wants to make that commitment, let us hear from you this week. If you're sitting here in this congregation and you just want to say to the Lord, I want to be ready, just raise your hand right now. Just get it on up. Mine's going up first. Don't want anybody to beat me. Keep your hand up there for a minute. Just keep it up. I want to be ready. I want to live in the spirit of Philadelphia. Church that was tested on readiness. Put your hand down. And if you've not yet made that decision for readiness, you need to make a commitment to Bible study or even to baptism. You can let me know that this week. While I'm standing in the door, by phone, by email, it's all there for you in the bulletin. Pastor, I need to make a decision to be ready. You can do that. To this end, we pray and give thanks. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless.